Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. You might want to mark your Bibles there, John chapter 17, because even if we go someplace else, we will constantly come back to this passage of Scripture in John chapter 17 as we consider the topic in the world, but not of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for coming into this world to save us out of this world. But now you've sent us into the world. Teach us what you want us to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a boy, we visited my aunt and uncle who lived on a farm. And on that farm, they had some pigs. They really did. I can still remember that pig pen. It was the muddiest place I ever saw in the world. And the pigs loved it. They had a great big mother pig and a bunch of little pigs and some in-between size pigs, and they just loved that mud. I suspect the world is kind of like that. It's a muddy place, and people like to wallow in it. What was it like for the Son of God to leave the glories of heaven and take on humanity and come into this world? He didn't wallow in the mud. He never sinned. But he did cover himself with our mud when he went on the cross. Here's the thing. According to John chapter 17 and verse 12, he says he was in the world. He says, while I was with them in the world. But according to verse 14, at the end of the verse, he was never of the world. As he says, I am not of the world. And so, according to this passage of Scripture, he expects the same thing of us. In verse 11, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Verse 14, in the middle of the verse, they are not of the world. That's what we want to study about today, being in the world, but not of the world. And why are we in the world? Verse 18 of the passage says, as thou hast sent me into the world, the Father sent the Son into the world. And in verse 12, while he was here in this world, he was with us, well, with his disciples at least, in verse 12, while I was with them in the world. His intention was not only to be with us, but to identify with us. Over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us. Our bodies are made of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. So Jesus came into this world to identify with us. And in identifying with us, he took on flesh blood. Thus, his being with us was more than a presence. It was an identification. He makes this statement in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. It's sort of anticipatory, this prayer that he is praying to the Father here in John chapter 17 was prayed probably in the Garden of Gethsemane the evening before he's crucified. Moments before he was arrested. We have a short version of what he prayed in the Gospels, other Gospels, where he perspired the sweat drops of blood and was in agony, but his prayer was much more involved than that, and it's recorded for us here in John chapter 17. He knows that he's about to be crucified, then he'll be resurrected, and then he'll ascend into heaven in a glorified body. And so he's out of this world. He's not going to remain here. He's leaving. But even though he was in the world, he was never of the world. He says it twice, verse 14 and verse 16. At the end of each verse, he says it twice, I am not of the world. To be of something is to be characterized by it, to belong to it, to be the same as or at least similar to. Any of you ever scuba dive? Anybody ever do that scuba diving thing? You put on the air pack, you know, and a mask, and you jump in the water and you go way down in. Well, a scuba diver goes into the water, right? Is he of the water? Well, he's not like a fish because he can't breathe the water. And he isn't water. He's in the water, but he's not of the water. And that's the way it was with Jesus coming into the world. He scuba dived into the world. He was in the world, but he was never of the world. He was never characterized by the things in this world. You could never say there was any similarity to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. He was always separate from the world and different from the world. He never took on any characterization of the world. We can't say that of ourselves, can we? What's the world like? Go over to 1 John chapter 2. And verse 16, it tells us that everything that's in the world, all that's in the world, is characterized by three things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, it says, number one is the desire to experience. It's called the lust of the flesh. The desire to experience. Why do people do the crazy things they do? Why do people climb Mount Everest? I mean, how many miles up is that? You can't even breathe up there. There's no oxygen. But in some people, there's this desire to experience that. Okay, I mean, we have, each of us probably had a desire to experience certain things in life. It's part of our human nature, but it can be carried too far, can it? Why do people drink alcohol? They want to experience the effects of it. Why do people take drugs and mess up their bodies? There's a certain experience associated with it, and some part of their psyche says, oh, I want to experience that. All of them should be sorry afterwards, but it's this desire to experience things. Think of all of the crazy things that people do in this world. It's this lust of the flesh. I just desire to experience. And then number two is the desire to possess. It's called the lust of the eyes. Does advertising work? Did you ever buy anything because you saw it advertised? I did. What's the effect of advertising? You see it. You want it. You go get it. It's the lust of the eyes. Now, you have to be careful, don't you? Because you can see things and want them you shouldn't have. And the third thing is the love of and promotion of self. It's called the pride of life. It's sometimes called self-esteem. You're special. The main thing in life is for me to be happy. I got to take care of me. That's the pride of life. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Oh, the world has become so wise. They've become so wise now, they've been able to create a thing called artificial intelligence, and it's going to be smarter than us. Oh, my. People think they're so smart. But by the wisdom of the world, they'll never get to know God. Chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Did you know the world has a spirit? And we can get caught up in it. It's amazing how the spirit of the world can change the moral code of the world in a short time. That's what's happened in our country recently. It hasn't been that many years ago that some of the, dare I mention it, trans, LGBTQ, am I going to get in trouble? You know what I'm talking about? Not that many years ago, anybody that was associated with that was in the closet, they called it. Now, if you don't accept it openly, why, you are the bad guy. Oh, it's so easy to get caught up in the spirit of the world. And now so many people, even Christians, want to be accepting of all of that because they don't want to be criticized or ostracized. Chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God doesn't have any time for all that stuff. It's no good. And it shouldn't be any good to us. Chapter 7 and verse 10. Chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Did I give you the wrong address? Well, it's someplace in... Oh, it's 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I saw the 7:10. Forgot to tell you about the second. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. There it is. I should have known better because I knew where it was on the page. Do you know your Bible like that? You don't remember what chapter or verse it is, but you know where it is on the page. It's right there. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow, the pain, the grief, the annoyance, the affliction of the world. Death in a wider sense. comprising of all the miseries arising from sin as well as spiritual death, isolation from God. That's what the world is like. Well, we looked at Jesus in the world, and we looked at the world. Now, what about us and the world? As an unsaved person, we were of the world, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Then notice in verse 2, there's the course of this world. And we followed it, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, which is similar to the spirit of this world. We were very involved. We were of the world. Notice it says in verse 2, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom in verse 3 also we all had our conversation in times past. Remember all that is in the world. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were of the world. We were characterized by it. We were exactly like it. We belonged to it. And then over in John chapter 15 and verse 9. The Gospel of John chapter 15 verse 19. Verse 19. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. In chapter 17 and verse 6, he says it again. Chapter 17 and verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Not that we have left the world, we are still in the world, but in the sense that we are no longer of the world. No longer characterized by the world. No longer similar to it. But like Jesus, we're in the world, but not of the world. Oh yes, we're in the world. Verse 11. Chapter 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. We're in the world. We're out of the world, but we're in the world. We've been saved out of being of the world, and we're no longer of the world, but we are in it. Here we are. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Briefly to 1 Peter chapter 4. When Jesus saves us out of the world, when we place our faith and trust in him and receive him as our Savior, and he saves us out of the world, a dynamic change takes place in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time past of our life, when we were of the world, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they, all of those who are still of the world, think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. We don't do that anymore. what we did when we were of the world. We don't do that anymore. The world doesn't get it, and the world thinks it's strange. But we're not of the world. John chapter 17 and verse 15. John 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Sometimes we might think it would have been better when the moment we were saved, for God to take us out of this world right away. It would save us so many hardships. Is the Christian life hard? Do you ever have struggles, difficulties? I mean, we are in the world. And the world isn't a perfect place. And he doesn't want us to be taken out of the world. In fact, in verse 18, it says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He sends us into the world. Now, what did Jesus do when he was in the world? Well, he tells us in verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world. Did Jesus talk a lot when he was in the world? Well, we have a record of some of the things that he said in the Gospels. And he says here, I speak in the world. And so back up to verse 6 in John chapter 17, where he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them, what did he give us? Words. He gave us words. He gave us words. What do you use when you speak? Use words. And so what does he want us to do? He says, I sent them, the same Father, the same way you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. When I was in the world, I spoke and I gave them words. You know Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach. Is that speaking? You know Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, verse 20, teaching them. And then Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Preach, teach, witness. Is all of that speaking? We are supposed to be a vocal people. That's what he sent us into the world to do. To speak. He gave us the words to say. Now he wants us to be a vocal people. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear If somebody doesn't speak the words Jesus gave. Does that make sense? Now, granted, there are things in this world that can hinder us. John chapter 17 and verse 14. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The hate of the world towards Christians can be a hindrance. A hindrance is something that slows you down and makes progress difficult. During the Obama administration, a training course called Equal Opportunity was presented to the U.S. Army Reserve Forces in Pennsylvania. During the presentation, troops were subjected to a slideshow that included a segment on what was dubbed religious extremism. At the top of the list, the very first item was evangelical Christianity in the United States. All the way back in 2012, two studies were funded in part by the United States Department of Homeland Security that listed Christians as perpetrators of terrorism. I'd say that's hate, wouldn't you? And if things like that come from our government, making people think that we are the bad guys, that could be a hindrance to our ability to convince people to listen to us when we speak. There are also things that can harm us in this world. John chapter 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We've seen evil vividly portrayed in our world in just recent days with the horrific atrocities that were perpetrated upon the people of Israel. You've seen the images. You've heard the reports. On a much smaller scale, but still just horrendous, churches in this country have been attacked. November 5, 2017, a mass shooting occurred when 26-year-old Devin Patrick Kelly shot and killed 26 people and wounded 22 others at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. You know, that church building is not as big as ours. Just a small congregation. They lose 26 people and many others wounded. How does that church function? Their witness will be difficult because they need time to heal. Yes, there are things in this world that can harm us. There are evil things that can do damage to us. Then there is the danger that evil people may infiltrate our church family and cause chaos within our midst by stirring up trouble and turning us against each other. You think it can't happen? Look over in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the church, the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, this is a local church in the town called Thyatira. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. How does a woman get into a local church and teach people in the church to do fornication? How does that happen? Infiltration. It can happen. It has happened. How many churches have lost their testimony in this country because reports of immorality within the pews? Oh, yes, there are things that can hinder us. There are things that can harm us. There are things that can damage our testimony. But in verse 12 of John chapter 17, we can't sit around in paranoia and look at each other sideways and wonder who is the infiltrator. It says in verse 12 of John chapter 17, while I was with him in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Well, he says, but the son of perdition. Judas doesn't count because he was a son of perdition. You could say a son of hell. People ask, was Judas saved? I don't think so. Not according to this. He wasn't saved in the first place. He was a pretender, an infiltrator. Oh yeah, Jesus called him, but he knew what Judas would do. But those that actually belonged to him, how many did he lose? None. None of them is lost, he said. He'll keep us. And God the Father will keep us. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them. Stand guard over them. Keep them from being snatched away. Preserve them safe and unimpaired. Keep us from all the ill effects of hatred. Protect us from all the ill effects of evil. And God the Father will do that if we will stand with him and be the vocal people he wants us to be in this world. And he will fill us with his joy, verse 13 of chapter 17. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. And as I've said before, joy is a consciousness of the presence of God. If you want to see the words, you can turn to Psalm 16 and verse 11, where it says, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Is God in you? Is God present with you? Then there is no reason for you to have the lack of peace and joy in your inner man. You may struggle with the circumstances of life outwardly, but inwardly, you can constantly have the joy of the Lord because he is with you. Are you of the world? Are you just like the world? There's no difference between you and the world. God will save you out of the world if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust in all he did for you. He'll save you from all of that stuff in the world. He'll save you from the lust of the flesh. He'll save you from the lust of the eyes. He'll save you from the pride of life. He'll save you from all that can hinder you and all that can harm you. But as a believer, you're in the world. God wants you to be in the world. He has a purpose for you to be here. He will protect us from the hate and the evil. He will give us security and confidence. He will fill us with his joy. But in the meantime, he wants us to say something. He wants us to speak. He wants us to be vocal. Jesus gave us the words to say. He sends us into the world to speak. Are you ready to say something? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your words. And they are precious to us. And we hold them dear in our hearts. But you don't want us to hide them under a bushel. You want us to say something. You want us to speak your words to the world so that you can save more people out of the world. Give us a voice to speak. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.